Turn in your Bibles, if you don't mind, to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start a bit of a new season for a couple of weeks. Just out of the prayer Jesus prayed, the Lord's Prayer. I know most of us have memorized it in our lifetime, especially if you're older. Used to recite it in class, in school, all the time. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I don't know if you mind putting up that first slide. I was driving by a church this week, and their sign literally said, "Pray for everyone impacted by weather." And I'm thinking, if that's not a joke, that's the stupidest sign I've ever seen in front of a church. And I know what the intent of it is. I guess people are impacted somewhere in the world by weather, but basically that's everybody, right? I was impacted by weather this morning. It's kind of like praying for everyone that breathes oxygen. Like, my point is, when we look at the Lord's Prayer, He was very, very specific. He laid out this amazing foundational prayer, teaching us how to pray, teaching us to pray, teaching, you know, if you look in Luke, but I'm going to stay in Matthew, just stay in Matthew. You can put the Matthew scripture up there if you like. I'm going to stay there. But if you look at it as a foundational prayer, because they said, teach us to pray. It's the one thing that disciples asked Jesus to do, is to teach them to pray. And He says, pray like this. But in Luke, He says, don't just start repeating empty words. Don't just go babbling on. Don't just talk for nothing. Repeating. Just these sort of this stand by the wailing wall. Going. Read through a book. Nothing wrong with it if your heart's right. But nothing powerful in it if it's just empty babbling words. And so when I read that sign, I had these thoughts in my heart. I'm thinking about prayer, what this prayer of Jesus means to us. And I'm thinking, it's exactly opposite to pray for the weather. Pray for the poor somewhere. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be personal. It's got to bring us to God, to our Father. And that's my first point, but I'll get to it. But it's like, this prayer is, Jesus is teaching us about our lives. And so my whole point this next few days, and it's not just me preaching, but we're looking at His prayer as a foundational prayer. But it's not just how to pray, it's what to pray. And it's a foundational prayer for mission. It's foundational prayer for our life. It's foundational prayer for our church. And so my couple of verses that I'm going to start with this morning is those first ones. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's, you know, we repeat it and we can memorize it, and we did it in our childhood, and I it's one of the verses, I think, probably better known than John 3:16. I don't know. Our Father who art in heaven, people can recite it. But what I want to challenge you with this morning and trust God for is that it's a commission, it's a call, it's a challenge to us how to live our life, how to not only pray, but how to passionately live our lives for God. Is that okay? So if we ever put a sign out in front that says, pray for everyone impacted by sunshine. I don't know. Change the sign, please. Help us. Don't pray pathetic little prayers. Is that okay if I say that? And there's no rules about how long a prayer is, how loud a prayer is, how, you know, some of the greatest prayers in the Bible was just simply they cried out to God. Peter's prayer, I already mentioned it, but other places, they just were desperate for God. And so this morning, as we look at Jesus' teaching on prayer, I want us to have this hunger in us for more of a prayer life, more of a reality when we talk with God than just sort of this vague out there somewhere Yeah, we come to church and we worship and we kind of just, God's out there. If there's anything that came out of the prophetic weekend, if there's anything out of the testimonies this morning, is that God has now words. God has intention to deal with the details in your life. God is speaking to you. If it's a wooden stake, you say, well, this is all I got. It's a pitiful little thing. And God takes that thing in your hand. He can change your family. He can change your life. He's in the details. And I see Robin's going with his little sweetheart. Robin, you gotta know I dress like this just for you, okay? I wanted to get a t-shirt that had a really low, you know. I wore the tightest jeans I have and the lowest t-shirt I have. We love you guys. We'll say more about you later. Let's stick to the Lord's Prayer. But it ties in with what's going on here this morning, because it really is a prayer, not only on prayer, but it's a prayer on our mission, our commission, our challenge to live large lives for God. And it starts with God our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm going to look at those couple of verses. The Lord's Prayer is not simply a pattern for prayer. It's a missional statement. It's to see our hope actually come to pass in this prayer, is that we require a couple of things to happen. Yeah, I'll just take, it's okay. Sorry. That was very unenjoyable. There's a couple of things that have to happen in this prayer. In order for us to see fulfilled what's in the prayer, is first of all, God's part. Go to the next one. I think it's on there. What God must do. And then the second part is what we must do. So if you look at his prayer, Jesus teaching them, there's a sovereign element to God's activity. He alone can send Jesus and fully establish the kingdom on earth. This is why Jesus taught us to pray and ask him to do it. We are dependent on him to do his part. We cannot bring the kingdom independently of his sovereign active will, of God's activity in the earth. You agree with that? Unless God moves, all of our activities, all of us coming into a building like this, all of us, you know, crying out, if God's not God, we're in trouble. But the second part is we have a responsibility. We are to get involved. There's an element, or our part is to stay in partnership with God and in acting in accordance with what we pray. Part of our partnership with God is his design to bring about his purposes in response to our request to ask him to do what he already wants to do. It seems, people say, why pray? God already knows the beginning from the end. God's sovereign. God's already determined everything. And God does know everything, and God is sovereign. We are sovereignaholics, as our friend Nick used to say. God is in control. There's nothing that happens outside of God. But within his will, within his sovereignty, he says, pray. And our prayers become part of his sovereign acts in the earth. He asks us to partner with him. And it's not a, God, touch all the people affected by weather. Do you get it? It drives me crazy. I come out of a background when we prayed a lot of empty prayers, when it was very religious, and when church was very painful to sit for 1 hour, and you could time it, and you could go through it, and you think, oh man, we still got those 7 things to do. And your dad's pinching your leg, and you're just trying to survive. Christianity's got to be way more than that. It's got to be a relationship with God. A talking, a communing, a partnering. Him asking us, you know, pray. And prayer doesn't change God so much, it changes us. Changes us and lines us up with him. But Jesus, when he's teaching them to pray, he adds those elements. There's God and there's us. I just wanted to get that in there for free. And he says to pray like this. He says, let me just finish this one line. God do what he promised he would do. In God's great design, he then satisfies our desire by his action on our behalf. He asks us and then he gives us the desire of our heart, which is his desire, which is his plan, and he brings this sovereignty together with the will of man, and we see that God's with us and God's moving on our behalf. And it's like we heard in the testimony, I come back to it this morning, that God actually does care about your life, Dana. God is leading every day. And I think on a day like this, I feel for my friends, Carrie and Sue. I saw them here, maybe they're teaching Sunday school. Yeah, we're going to call them back later when we celebrate. But my heart, to say goodbye to Grand, forget about Robin, he's easy to say goodbye. But a beautiful little granddaughter that's going overseas, that I understand. That I get. And Robin too. So let's look at a couple of elements and then I'll quit because we want to take some time after. But it relates to this whole weekend. It relates to what God's been speaking to us as a church. And it relates to this day that we're part of. He says like this, Our Father, I would tell you this, look through the whole Old Testament. If you have done any biblical theology studies where you start at the beginning and you go through and, you know, I've shared that before. And when you go into foreign lands where there is no Judeo-Christian base and whatever, it's very good to start at the beginning, open up the book of Genesis and start to read. And you start God as God revealed himself, and God starts revealing himself as creator and deliverer, almighty. All these amazing truths about God. You study the names of God. Well, what I want to get to, if you're flipping through and you're going through and you come to this, Jesus introduces to the Jewish people, to his disciples, this amazing point. When you pray, say, Our Father, Abba, Father, Father, the most dearest title of Father that he could give them. When you pray, start there. And I just want to say this. Jesus teaches them that God is our Father. He signals a new relationship between God and us that he's about to introduce and that he's working out through sending his son, Jesus Christ. It's not a new program. It's what he's been working on, but he's starting to reveal to his people that God is our Father. And what does that mean? So when we pray, Our Father in heaven, that's got to ignite stuff in us. That's got to stir us. And we heard it in the prayer meeting. Sue was one of the ones who prayed, and a couple of different ones, and Nick, about our identity. When you say, My Father, Our Father, it speaks something to you. It puts value on you. I have a Father in heaven. I have a Father who loves me. I have a Father who cares about my life. It brings God right into my circumstances, into my situation, that he's my Father. I love that message. I've preached that message, the Father heart of God, the love of God. I used to say the greatest fact of the universe was that God loved us, and I had to change it because the reason he loves us, the greatest fact of the universe, is that he's our Father. All of our fathers, our Father, the Father of Christ and your Father and my Father. Jesus teaches that. And then I just would add this, because I'm not going to stay long on it, but no other area, I think, will get more attack than that. That God's our Father. And I could go on to fatherhood and identity and family and all of that, but I don't have time. But Father, God is a Father. What the world wants to, and we give them a lot of ammunition, but the world wants to tell us is that you Christians, you're bigots. You're condemning. You're hard. You have no love. And that message is out there, and then we help it many times. We encourage it. But that message that God is a Father in heaven. Think of it. A good Father. You know, like our view of fathers get all twisted and messed up because of our circumstances and lives and lack of fatherhood and all of the things. But if you allow God by His Holy Spirit to come and minister that grace to you, what a Father is, how a Father loves, how a Father cares, how a Father gives Himself, and how you belong and how you have identity and, you know, value, not because you did something, just for being born, just because you're alive in the earth, just because you're standing here, sitting here today, standing here, God has value on you. And I think, you know, one of the things that John showed us again, not in the Bible, John 2 weeks ago, by walking around and laying hands on people and speaking a specific word was the Father heart of God. Amen. That He really does care about your life. He really does care about your marriage and your grandchildren. He cares. And that's the message that we need to take to the world. That passionate, loving Father who cares about every detail of our life. And we can get it wrong. We can be hard on each other. That's what I said. After a weekend of amazing mountaintop, we can take hits. And we can be the hitters to one another. And we can, in our zeal to preach to the lost, we can turn them so far off. It'll take years for them to come back and really believe us that God is our Father. So when we look at Jesus' prayer as a missional statement, it has to start with a Father. It has to start with a Father's heart. It has to start with care for one another. He cares about you. He cares about your life. He cares about every detail of your life. He says, you know, if I keep going on this Father theme, it means we're family. You're stuck with your family, folks. Sorry. Some of us wouldn't choose one another. Be honest. Don't be too honest. We learn to love in a family. We learn to forgive in a family. You get your DNA from a family. A lot of what we are is from inheritance, and a lot is from our environment. But we get it from our Father. And we have one Father, His in heaven. I just wrote this line down here. Many live as orphans. We don't have to be an orphan. We are sons and daughters. We belong. And I would put in a plug for the men's night on Friday night. I think it was PJ said it after and we were talking, but just, man, those men that were there, the quality, the hunger for God, the willingness to step up and be exposed, whatever. I could name many things. It just spoke huge to me about the Father heart of God for His family, for His church, for us, bringing us together. We are a family. Don't have to live as an orphan. You don't have to live like I'm the only one that has this issue. I'm the only one that's got problems. I'm the only one that, you know, whatever. Finish the sentence. We have a brotherhood. We have a family that fights for one another. It means we're family. It also means other churches. When you say our Father, you're touching nations, tribes, tongues all over the world. Our Father takes us way beyond just our little world into His world. We have a Father of everyone. You know, I like this verse. I'll just jump to it. John 10 verse 16. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. He's talking about the tribes and tongues. The world needs to hear our message. We need to live in something of that, of the family, the heart of God, the sonship, the God as our Father. And then we need to take that message to the entire world. That's the challenge. That's the call. That's the call of the prayer that Jesus is praying. This is our mission. You want to simplify your whole mission down? Love God. Love your brothers. Love one another. You want to shrink our mission down is that we can never stop preaching the Father that we know and love. And we preach it by living it. We preach it by sharing it. We preach it by getting behind what God is doing, what He is building, what He gave His life for, what He sent His Son for. We back that up with our lives. And that includes caring and sharing with one another, and it means also touching Norway. It means going to the ends of the earth. It means saying, God, where will you take me? What do you want to do with my life? I'm part of this family. He says, who's in heaven? And I'm not going to spend much time on that, but it relates to this. It changes your perspective when you pray this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. And all I want to say about it is that let that truth sink into your heart this morning and change your perspective. It changes the way you see your problems. And John preached on it a couple of weeks ago about rising above the storms. The storms may not change, but our perspective has to change. We get on top of the water instead of under it. We allow God to show us He is in control. So when we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, our perspective changes. My little world, my problems, my struggles, they're real. They're probably going to carry on. We're not going to be void of floods and storms. But what can change is how I see them. What can change is to say, hey, I have a Father who's in heaven. He's big. He knows those things. You know, I've heard people say you need to just look up. No, actually you need to look down. You need to look down from God's perspective. We're like those little kids, and these are all old examples, forgive me, but we're like those little kids watching a parade through a little peephole in the fence because we didn't pay for the ticket or whatever. And that's our view. And God wants to take us and lift us up and say, no, look at this view. Look what I'm doing in the world. It looks like it's chaos. It looks like men have lost their minds. When you watch the news right now, stuff that's going on, imagine and pray we never see the day that someone comes in the back door and locks us in here. Closest we ever came to it was in South Africa and being robbed. But imagine the synagogue in Pittsburgh this week. Imagine the wickedness of the world. And we can get swamped with that. It's chaos out there. Or we can back up and say, we have a Father who's in heaven. And from His perspective, say, God, I don't get it, but I trust You. You are a good Father. Amen? What's God putting His finger on a perspective on in your life this morning? What are you seeing just too close to? Back up and see how God sees it and pray this prayer. Father, my Father in heaven. He says, hallowed be Your name. All of these can preach for the rest of our life. Just means make His name hallowed. Make His name holy. Make our lives live that out locally and around the world to everyone. Holy is His name. This is our mission. This is our statement that Christ gives to us. He says, pray like this. Pray like this. And it's not just to repeat this little prayer. It's to pray this by the Spirit of God. What it means to have a Father in heaven. What it means to make His name glorious in the earth. What it means to share His kingdom. Because this is the second and last point I want to talk about. He says, Thy kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's clear that the kingdom of God is future, even in this prayer. Your kingdom come. But there's another aspect of the kingdom that it's already come. And we are to pray that Jesus says this, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come. Luke 11:20. There's many verses, I won't take the time, but uses the term has arrived. Now present. Romans 9:31. The kingdom of God is both future and the kingdom of God is now. And he says, pray that. Pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Thy kingdom come. That kingdom, which is to come, let it come. But also, let it come into my life right now. Let it come into my circumstance right now. Kingdom people. Are we kingdom people? And again, it comes back to our perspective. It comes back to our view of God. Or are we nice little church people? Do we see this much or do we see God's perspective? He says, pray that His kingdom would come. That kingdom which is being prepared, which is yet to come. Let it come now. Let it be visible now. Let us taste something of it now in our lives today. Have you prayed that? Are you living in something of that? It'll change your perspective. It'll change how you look at life. So if you talk about the kingdom, let me say this, there's a king. If you pray the kingdom come, it means there's a king. It means there must be obedience. It means there must be surrender to a king. His idea of the kingdom come, if you just think of the kingdom of God coming, God sent his son. There's an aspect of the kingdom where we agree to be sent. There's an aspect of his kingdom coming on earth is including us, in us working and us doing things for God, working for God, living for God, passionately sharing the life of God with others. We weren't just put here for ourselves. It can't be just about us. It can't just be about us for no more. It's got to be about his kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom on earth. Spiritual kingdom, I'm taking that from who says, the kingdom is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God comes. When we pray for the kingdom of God to come, it's not trying to overthrow government. It's not trying to get together a large army and you know, that's what the Jewish people were trying to do at the time. They thought, you know, Jesus was going to set up this kingdom and he's going to be a political leader and that is going to come. But what's coming right now, what we're involved in right now is a spiritual kingdom. A kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. A kingdom in the Holy Spirit. It's a kingdom that is in us. And then it translates into our lives and it starts to affect our family. It starts to affect our workplace and it starts to affect people around us. And we can't control it. We take it to the ends of the earth. The kingdom comes like that. It comes quietly. It comes powerfully. It comes into our lives and changes circumstances. It's the gospel that we preach. The gospel of the kingdom. When it's preached to the whole world, then the end shall come. It's part of the message that we've been given by Christ. So when we pray, thy kingdom come, we're actually saying, Jesus, come and take order and control of my life and let your kingdom come. And there's been times through the centuries and through the church histories that, man, they're hiding in catacombs and they're running for their lives. And there are millions doing that as I'm speaking. And trust me, they are praying, your kingdom come. That future kingdom, let it come. And may we never quit praying that. May we never quit living that. That we're not just here for now. We're here for a greater purpose and a greater end to all this. It's not just so we have these little lives and we can just survive and man, I messed up today and I got through. That's our lives. But we're part of something much bigger. It's what gives us hope. It's what gives us purpose. It gives us a reason to come together and to pray and to worship and trust God. We need to have that perspective of the kingdom. His kingdom on earth. What does it look like when the kingdom comes on earth? You're seeing my stuff. But whatever's in heaven must be what he wants to come to earth. Worship. Praise. You know, I could speak on all of these ones, but did I put worship and praise on there? Good, I didn't. Snuck one in on you. Just think, in heaven, the noise. Think the worship. There's times when it goes silent. I can only imagine, you know, that song. I'm going to practice the song yet, Herman. You're going to be amazed. Can only imagine what it's going to be like when we stand in heaven. Well, he says, pray that comes now. Some of that awe, some of that presence of God. Pray it comes now. Pray heaven touches now our lives. Do you have some of the peace and the righteousness and the joy and the worship and the freedom in your life right now? Pray for it. Pray that his kingdom would come upon us. Wherever the kingdom of God goes, there's life. There's peace. There's joy. When his kingdom came into our family in 1974, I wished I could film it. I don't know. I wished. I've heard your testimony when God showed you the reality of heaven, of his coming. When the kingdom comes into your life, it changes stuff. That's our prayer this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Think of it. Your will be done. On earth, in my life, today, as it is in heaven.